Open your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight to Ephesians. Hallelujah. Chapter number 4. How many of you know I just want what God wants? You want what God wants? I want what God wants. I've been going back and watching some DVDs of my man of God, Dr. Ed Dufresne, ministering, and just so stirred up about his example and what he meant to me and what God was trying to get over to me as a minister as I sat under him. And one of the things I love about him is he'd just be preaching along, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost, you know, he'd have everybody stand up and praise God, and he was done preaching. He didn't have to get to the end of his sermon if the Holy Ghost wanted to do something different. You know, amen? And not that I haven't been, but I'm just like, Holy Ghost, I'm going to follow that example. Amen? And praise God. Well, the Lord dealt with me. It may feel to you like a sharp turn from where we have been. I trust it's not. Just endeavoring to follow God. And here in Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at, we're going to go ahead and begin in verse number 1. I don't know if it's been a little bit, but you remember earlier in the year, right before the Miracle Crusade, we had Reverend Joel Siegel come. And the Lord had him for several services talking to us about gifts, and not coming behind in any good gift. And the Lord brought me back to that today and stirred me up some things about gifts. I've been thinking about gifts. Have you guys been thinking about gifts? How many of you have been, you know, that's the big conversation. Are you done with Christmas? Have you bought all your presents? We're getting ready to exchange gifts. Amen? Well, you know, God is the ultimate gift giver. He is the ultimate giver of gifts, and his gifts are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful gifts. Amen. And so we're going to talk tonight about the gifts. Amen. Particularly your gifts, the gifts that God gave to you. Amen. And so here in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1, Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. I want to stop and preach that every time I read it and come across it. That you walk worthy. The Lexham English translation says that you live life in a manner that is worthy of the calling wherewith you have been called. Amen. Now, in Christian circles, when we use the word calling, so much of the time we limit that to preaching, to a preaching type call. But be reminded, who is the Holy Spirit through Paul writing to? This is not a minister's conference that he's at. He is addressing all the saints, the entire church at Ephesus. Amen? So if the Holy Ghost would use a man of God to address the saints at Ephesus, he could use this man of God to address saints at the church in Paducah. Every single one of the body of Christ, it applies to every Christian. And so not just me, not just Dr. Jacobs, not just apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, but every single one of you who name Jesus as Lord, amen, who have been born into the family of God are called. You are called. You are called. I said, I'm called. You're called. And Paul writes to all of us, and he's telling us that we are to live a life worthy of the vocation, of the calling wherewith you and I have been called. Then he gives us a couple of attributes to help us know what that would look like. Amen. With all lowliness, that simply means humility. Amen. We should live our Christian life humbly. The next word is meekness. We should have meekness. That just simply means gentleness, that we're not hard, that we're not harsh. Amen? That it ought to be easy to be around you. Amen? Praise God. With long suffering. In other words, we are good at putting up with stuff. You know, if we don't get good at putting up with stuff, we're not walking worthy of the Christian call. So anytime someone gives you an opportunity to have to put up with something or someone, you're getting an opportunity to live your life worthy. of the Christian call that's on your life. Amen. It goes on and actually says forbearing one another. Other translations, yours might say, depending on what kind of translation you have, putting up with. Putting up with one another in love. Amen. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond of peace. All of this is so good, but I'm trying to get somewhere. There is, notice what he says, verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope or expectation of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Amen. That's just good, isn't it? Praise God. But verse 7 and 8 is really where I was trying to get to. But look at this. It says, but unto every one of us. You know, that even includes Brother Mark back there. Amen. Praise God. You girls, amen, all of us, every one of us, amen. Amen. But unto every one of us is given grace, grace. Now, Reverend Siegel pointed this out when he was here, and of course you might know this. This Greek word here is the Greek word charis, charis. It's the root word where we get charisma. Charis or grace simply means this, that which God has given. Amen. I looked it up and studied it pretty thoroughly today. Grace is something freely given by God. In other words, there's nothing that you and I could do to earn, amen, or to qualify ourselves with the gift that He gives. Everything that God has given, He gave by grace. Amen. It is His generous, unearned favor that moved Him to give. That's grace. That's grace. And it's by grace that we're saved. And it's by grace that we experience His blessings. And it's by grace that we received a call. He freely gave and generally bestowed, amen, a call. Now, how many of us were benefactors of this? It says to everyone. But unto every one of us is given grace. Now notice this, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So there is a part of grace that is common and equal to every believer. By God's grace, through His blood, we all have access to the Father. Aren't you glad? We all have the name of Jesus. We all have the authority. We're all sitting in the same seat. We have the same Bible. We, generally speaking, we have the same inheritance. Amen? But beyond that, what we're going to see is that grace gave not just a common free gift, but there is a grace on Sister Gloria that Jesus gave her that is specific to her. Amen? And it would differ from the gift that Jesus gave me. But none of us have been left out. None of us. Every single one of us has been the... And I was meditating on this today. We'll see here. I think it's... Yeah, it's in this scripture. That Jesus personally involved Himself in the giving of your gift. He didn't say, okay, I'm raising up a church in West Paducah. They're going to need a lot of gifts, and sent a bunch of angels to distribute it out at their will. He didn't do that. The head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, personally took of Himself and gave to each and every one of us a gift of grace from Him. Amen. And so there is, I'm sure you can grasp this. There is an unlimited grace, but then there is a limited grace, right? So in my personal life, there's no limit to His grace. There's no limit to His favor. There's no limit to His blessing. Amen. His character and His divine ability working in me, there's no limit. But when it comes to the gift He gave me, for service, That is limited. It is specific to me and it's limited. Amen. Notice what it says here. Jesus gave according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So of that pastoral office, he chose the grace, the measure of grace that that gift would operate in my life. I don't have anything to say about it. Now I can position myself for him to give more grace because James 4:4 says God gives more grace. Amen. But see, you and I don't get to choose. Well, man, I'd really like to have that apostle's gift. I don't know that you would. I don't know that you would, number one. But number two, it's not up to us. Jesus personally gave you your gifts. Amen. That's an honor. He took the time. He took the time to choose the grace, the divine ability, how he would want to work through you. And he personally assigned it to each and every one of us. Praise God. Amen. The Mace translation of Ephesians 4 says this, but to every one of us, a different charge is given. So see, there is a common grace, but then there is a specific grace. Jesus charged Sister Debbie. Amen. Jesus charged Reverend Kamel. Amen. And so to each one of us, a different charge is given. I love this. According to the distribution which Christ made. He did this. No matter whether way your mind or flesh wants to think about it, you ought to choose to get thrilled with whatever gift he gave you. Get thrilled with it. Get yourself in agreement with it. Because whether you feel like it or not, whether you know it or not, none of us are shortchanged. Amen. And we're all so vitally, vitally important to his plan. You know, other than Jesus, there's no big shot, little shot. I'm not a big shot. Amen. We're all little shots compared to Jesus. Amen. You know what I do in the local church is not any less important than what others do. It's just different. I said it's just different. I know it feels like that. I know it looks like that because, I'm vocal and I'm up front. Amen. I get that. But I tell you what, without others doing what they're gifted to do, I couldn't be here. I couldn't be up here doing what I do. Amen. So whatever you're called to do, amen, it may be different than what I'm called to do, but it's not less important. Jesus gave you that gift. That alone ought to tell you it's valuable and it's important. Amen. The Amplified of verse 7 says, yet grace, God's unmerited favor, was given to each of us individually, not indiscriminately, you know, not randomly, but in different ways, in proportion to the measure of Christ's rich, bountiful gift. Amen. Now, read verse 8 with me. It goes on and says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. He gave gifts unto men. Now, you might be interested to know that that word men in the Greek is the Greek word anthropos, where we get the word anthropology. Amen. And it means men and women. Men are not the only one that were recipients of gifts from Jesus. Amen. That's a lie out there. Amen. Now in verse 11, he highlights five specific gifts that he gave. Right? It says, and he gave some, not everybody, but he gave some the gift of the office of the apostle. Others the prophet. Others the evangelist. The pastor. And the teacher. And then he goes on and wonderfully describes why and for what purpose and how long did he give those specific gifts. But when Jesus ascended on high, he distributed gifts. Gifts of power, gifts of grace, gifts of all kinds of gifts. Amen. Amen. Go to Romans chapter 12 with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. For those sitting here tonight, glory to God, who are out of touch with their gift, their grace gifts. Amen. That'll be made known to you. That'll be clarified to you. That'll be stirred up on the inside of you. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Romans chapter 12. And begin reading with me in verse number 4. So here Paul says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office." I like the word function. If you look it up, it means office, but it means function. So just like in my human body is made up of many members, right? Making up one body. But not all the members of my body have the same function. Thank God. I'm glad I have hands and feet. I'm glad I have sound technicians and children's workers. Are you with me? Praise God. I'm glad I have a liver and a heart. Not willing to do without any of them. God gave me an appendix. I still have it. I'm going to have it as long as I live, and it'll be healthy. Because God put it in there. I'll just soon keep it. Amen. Not sure what its function is, but it's in there for a reason. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, my appendix doesn't get any accolades. It doesn't get highlighted. No spotlights put on it. Amen. I wouldn't be able to identify, and I took anatomy. I wouldn't be able to identify it if you put a pen in it and a sign on it. Amen. But it's got a function. I said, it's got a function. Glory to God. Well, Paul is saying the body of Christ is like that. And you could bring it down to a local church. That's what I want to talk about. The local church is like that. We are to be one unified spiritual family. Amen. We are one body together. And Christ gave this body, each one, specific gifts of grace. Different from one another. They're not the same. And they're according to the measure that Christ gave to give them. Listen, if He gave them, we must need them. You might feel like the appendix. You don't even know why you're here. Amen? But you're here for a reason. Amen? I said, you're here for a reason. Praise God. Now, you need to figure out what that reason is. But the gift, oh, yes, Father, the gift is for function. The gift is for function. Most churches are dysfunctional. Most local churches, to some degree or another, are dysfunctional. Why? Because like 1 Corinthians 1:7 says, they are coming behind in gifts. Listen, the Lord dealt with me about this today to say this to you. When you decide to neglect your involvement with the local church, you are robbing the local church of your gift. You are robbing the local church of your gift. So by you being out of that place of divine order, that function is missing in that local body to its detriment. And when you get a certain percentage of people conducting their Christian life like that, the church becomes unhealthy. You know, it's one thing take an appendix out. It's another thing take a gallbladder out. But if you just start reaching in, and when fingers stop showing up and the tongue stops showing and the ear decides it doesn't want to come to church that day, then you become very freakish looking. And what happens is you have this local church with a high stress level. Because a gifting, a divine function that God gave and He set in the local body has decided not to show up and function. So other people are having to try to compensate for that lack of gifting. And most of the time they're doing their best, but they're not gifted for that. My finger cannot be the brain. Are you with me? Hallelujah. I hope you're starting to get a point. Amen. So we do not all have the same function. So we being many, verse 5, are one body in Christ and everyone members of one another. Having then gifts differing according, look at that, to the grace. So here's another confirming verse. There is a form of God's grace that is given that's different. That's different. One to another. And it's by divine design that it's different that way. Amen? I'm not you and you're not me, and we shouldn't try to want to be that. I'm not Reverend Kamel. I'm not trying to be Reverend Kamel. He shouldn't be trying to be me. There's principles. There's things that he can model and I can model in a general way. But I don't function in the office of an evangelist. And I'm not trying to. I'm a pastor and a teacher. I said I'm a pastor and a teacher, and I have some other endowments and things and flows in me. Dr. Dufresne says he pulled me down to one knee the last year of his life. I was just trying to go to my seat. And he pulled me down to one knee, and he said, you know, son, it takes a slice of the apostle's office to do what you and your wife have done the last 7 years. Did you know that? I said, no, I didn't know that. You just messed me up. He said, go sit down. He didn't explain it to me. But I just had me and God had to go back and figure that out. Amen. So praise God. And it's up to you to figure out what you have. Amen. But it is of the paramount importance that you discern your gift, your gifts, and that you employ that gift for the benefit of the local church, for the benefit of the body. Brother Scott and I were talking around this subject, roundabout, same thing, in the back, and how we're just talking about how we've chosen to live our lives. And over time, it just proved out, you know, how we don't get sick, how we just don't have crisis and problems like others do. Now, he does, I do, you have pressures. You got things, you know, things, challenges. That's just the way it is sometimes. But I don't live in crisis. Amen. And I don't go from one accident to the next. Right. I just don't. And a big part of it is that I'm here every day. I'm here all, I'm in my place. I'm in my place. And I am doing my very best to be reliable in my function. Aren't you glad that hopefully you're not thinking about, is your heart going to quit on you? But it's no good for a pastor or any member of the body to wonder, I wonder if my arm's going to quit on me. I wonder if the leg is going to show up and be the leg at church tonight. You know, the local church ought to be able to know with great reliability that though we do understand things happen, that's not the flow and habit of your life. That you understand, you've got an understanding, a revelation, you've got enough light from the Word of God, amen, to know it's important. I'm not just coming to occupy a chair and be counted. No, no, no. I have a function. I have a gift. If nothing else, I'm coming to learn about that gift. I'm coming to find out where my place is. But I'm not going to not be where I'm supposed to be. And people who choose as a habit to be where they're not supposed to be absent, amen, there is a great cost that comes into people's lives because of their unfaithfulness to bring their God-ordained gift to the local church, to the body that they belong to. I wish I could get it over to you how serious it is. You know the gift that Jesus gave you? You're accountable to Him for that gift. I said, you're accountable to Him for that gift. You're accountable to Him for that gift. And do you know the gift that He gave you is not for you first? I said, it's not for you first. You notice that my wife is not taking her piano ability and her beautiful voice and trying to make a name for herself in Nashville? or on the Christian hip-hop scene. That is not right. But do you know how many people that God gave a gift? And that gift was to be expressed in praise and in worship, in the praise and worship of God in the local church, and they're in some bar tonight trying to get seen, trying to get noticed, and they have perverted the gift God gave them, and they're out there doing it to chase fame and money, and they're going to be accountable to God. And you look at the tragedies that happen. I'm going to name a name. God bless her, Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston was raised up in the church. She was a godly girl. Amen. And that girl could belt it out like few people on the planet could ever belt it out. I mean, what a gift. Amen. But she took that gift and left the church. She took that gift, God bless her, and because it was so powerful, she knew she could make money with it. And that's not wrong to make money with your gift, but that gift was first designed and given by God. That wasn't hers. That was God's gift to her, and God gave it to her to bless the local church. Yeah. And you saw the outcome of her life. The gift God gave you is for the local church first. Then it's for you. Then it's for the world. You know, when we were building the building, you know, whatever, there's just different, attitudes and, you know, the people that have come and gone through the church at different times. And I wondered, you know, they had this amazing gift to plumb, this amazing gift to carpenter, this amazing gift to do things with their hands. And they were making a good living doing it, but they were not interested in taking that gift and blessing the local church during building time. But, you know, we've also had wonderful examples. I mentioned Brother Mark. Mark has used his gifts. And I could name many others, whatever, but I named him. He has used his talents, his gifts, and his abilities, amen, and he's never sent me an invoice. Right? And there have been times where, you know, we were moved upon as in leadership of the church to thank him some way, bless him some way, amen. But see, praise God. And the church benefits. We have a sound system because Mark and others used his gift. Saved the church tens and tens of thousands of dollars. Amen. The computer systems, the networking we have, the internet systems, the phone system. It's all him, the camera system. You can never leave. I don't care how mad at me you get. Amen. But see, that's the right heart. That's the right attitude. His wife, Karen, look at how beautiful our events are. The guest ministers and the people that come for our special meetings, ooh and awe at the presentation and the excellence. I don't have that gift. You give me all that stuff in a book and a video, and I can't make it look good. I can't. She can. Are you with me? Amen. But I can preach a pretty good word. I can do that. I could lay hands on the sick, get people healed. I can cast out devils. I mean, I can do my part. Preaching pretty good. Amen. Some of you need to take this message and go share it with some people. Anyway, I'll just move on. So verse 6, Romans 12, verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now the New King James I like the best. It says, let us use them. The gifts he gave, he says, let us use them. And then he lists another series of gifts. Let me run this down for you real quick. From what I can tell in the New Testament, there are four categories of gifts. Amen. The first category is grace, the work of grace that makes you you. Amen. So it's going to include your natural talents and abilities. You know those are God-given. You developed them, yes. You cooperated with them, yes. But God gave you those abilities. I mean, if you get geometry, The rest of us don't. God gave you that ability. Don't get proud about it. I said, don't get proud about it. Amen. And so that's the first, is the natural abilities. Then we saw in Ephesians chapter 4, there are doma gifts. That's the Greek word for gifts. When Jesus said he gave gifts unto men, it literally means presence. Jesus gave presence. Amen. And then he describes five of the presents he gave. He gave the ministry offices, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Hey, did you know I'm a present from Jesus to you? That's what the Bible says. Did you know that Kamel is a present to West Kentucky? He's a present. He and Chelsea and their family are a present. Dr. Jacobs, a prophet, is a present. Jesus gave us a present. That ought to matter to us. And I know it matters to you. Amen. But it ought to, those are five. So those are the ministry gifts or the doma gifts. Then you get into where we are here in Romans chapter 12, and we have what's traditionally called the motivational gifts. And there are, what, seven of those? I have them here. Notice he went on, we can just read them real quick in Romans chapter 12, verse number 6. He goes and says, if prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. Or ministry, that's service. Serving. Let us wait on our serving. He that teaches on teaching. He that exhorts on exhortation. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules, that means leadership or administration, do so with diligence. He that showeth mercy, amen, with cheerfulness. Now, you can actually take tests that will help highlight for you what your motivational gifts are. This is a work of grace that kind of defines how you're wired. Now, if you want extreme examples of mercy gifts, we have two in the church tonight that I know of, and they're both named Debbie. Right, Debbie Elmer and Debbie Keaton right here. I've never seen their test score, but if I had to guess, I don't know that their mercy would register on the chart. It would be so high. They've never seen a three-legged dog so pathetic that they wouldn't pass it up. I mean, they're going to take it in. I mean, every donkey, every cat. I mean, Debbie knows about every hurting, crying, living animal creature in McCracken, Ballard County. She knows about it. And Debbie and Miss Debbie, she's our number one submitter of prayer requests. I don't know where she finds these people, but they're all homeless and desperate, dying, full of the devil, strung out on drugs. I don't know where she hangs out, where she meets these people who we're praying for all the time. And when she comes personally to ask for prayer, it's rarely for her. And she cries, and she just cries. And I'm like, Debbie, you got to get yourself together. But God put something in these women. He put in that bleeding heart. And listen, when you got a runny nose and you don't feel good, there's nobody you want around more than someone like that. Oh, honey, let's get your soup. Where is your hot towel? Oh, that's not hot enough. What could I do for you? And are you good? I'm going to go over here and cry in prayer because I hurt and I weep for you. I don't think I put that Band-Aid on right. Let me get that off and do that again. And then I'm going to call Pastor Chris and have him intercede for 3 hours. I'm making fun a little bit. But it's funny, I don't have that gift. I don't. You know, the Cody family, everybody but me, just took one of those tests. And nobody in my family's got any mercy. Not even Rex. Rex has no mercy. Amen. And so if you don't feel good in our house, it's rough. It's rough because we're all that prophecy prophet type. Like, get up, have some faith, get over it. Get your own Kleenex. Faith is an act. I love you. Is there anything I can do for you? Oh, There's just no mercy. No mercy in the Madala home? No. No. Amen. But see, you know, there are some people that rule. They have leadership ability. Amen. How many of you know every church needs people with a mercy gift? Every church needs people with administrative leadership ability. Amen. Every church needs teachers. Every church needs people gifted with prophecy. How about this exhortation gift? Amen. This is a gift of encouragement. Amen. A lot of you probably do well on that. Some of you probably really stink at it, but praise God. Amen. So this is someone that when you're around them, they just have a grace on them. You are going to feel better after you spend a few minutes with them. You shaking? That's not Miss Penny? No. No. Yeah. You're welcome at our house, you know, but you got to bring your own encouragement. Praise the Lord. Anybody in here think they've got the gift of encouragement? Yeah, I was going to say you. Yeah, Brother Jeff, you're real positive. Yeah, yeah. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, if you want to contact the office, we'll get you one of those tests. You can score yourself. But I mean, my mercy doesn't even show up on the chart. Just doesn't. Amen. Well, these are gifts in the church. How about this gift of giving? Oh, if you don't think it's necessary, I'm praying for that. Amen. That Jesus will give an impartation to more people. Really, in the Greek, this word give is distributor. This is describing someone who has a grace on them to fund the work of God. And I think our church has come behind overall over the years in that, but I'm believing that's changing. I believe people are being raised up in that, but I believe people, God's going to add some people to the church too. They just have an anointing on them to make money, and they're not tight with it. They give. Now, you could be operating in this gift, but you haven't developed the ability. You have the heart for it. You know, there's a lot of us like that. But if you've got this gift, whoo, you need to cultivate that. Amen. So these are the motivational gifts. But then, of course, there is what many of us are familiar with. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are the charismata gifts, or the gifts of the Spirit. And there are 9 of those. Amen? Amen. Anybody got any graduates in here in my little school? Amen. You could rattle them off. Amen. There is the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits. There is prophecy, divers kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. There's the working of miracles, the gifts of healings, and the gift of special faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, we need those gifts. We need those gifts. You need to want those gifts in manifestation in the church. This world needs the working of miracles in operation and demonstration. And we don't have enough of it. We have hardly any of it. Working in miracles. We have some gifts of healings. Thank God for that. We have seen a few creative things. We have some. Amen. I don't know that I could really point to a recent circumstance where the gift of faith was in operation. We need to covet these things. Go with me. I know what time it is. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Did I bring my Amplified Bible with me? Anybody, Kamel's got his Amplified. He never goes anywhere without an Amplified Bible. Thank you, sir. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 in the Amplified. Paul here says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest, and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments, gifts. Yeah. Amen? Amen. How many of you, you'd like to come to church and see more miracles? Amen. That's not all of us. More notable healings. You know where it begins? Desire. That's what he said. In other words, he's not going to manifest these gifts if they're not desired. If they're not wanted. Well, I want them. And I recognize that these are gifts that we probably come behind in. I don't know of a local church anywhere. Amen. Maybe there are that would say, we're not coming behind in any of the gifts. But the body of Christ as a whole is woefully behind in the gifts of the Spirit. And it begins with desire. You just have to judge yourself. If you measure your own personal hunger for the manifestations of the Holy Ghost when you come to church, or when things begin to trickle out of a church, do you go, oh no, it's not going to be one of those services, is it? I brought somebody with me tonight. Like the Holy Ghost is going to embarrass somebody. You just want to get a nice little quick sermon, a feel-good song, and get out of here. I mean, I don't be honest about it, because it'd probably discourage me. Amen? But we need to do what the Bible says. I said, we need to do what the Bible says. And if the Bible says, earnestly desire and covet, it's a decision. We don't have to wait on a feeling. And it's not God's job to stir you up about the gifts of the Spirit. It's our job to stir ourselves up. You know, right before World War I broke out, or maybe in the early years, 1941, 1942, 1940, yeah, somewhere in there. Now the war had begun. Brother Hagin started getting up in the middle of the night. And he would spend an hour or more on his knees by the wood stove. They didn't have central heat. It was cold. And he would get up and pray for about an hour or more every night for a season, every night. And what he was praying about, he said, Father, we don't have the gifts of the Spirit like we need to in our church. You don't have to use me, but we need, your word says these gifts ought to be in the church. And he prayed everything he knew to pray in English. He said, now I'm just going to pray in other tongues. You help me, but we need these gifts. And he did that for months. He got so much into the habit of it, sometimes he'd find himself on his knees by the wood stove, not remember that he got up. He found out later that God had stirred up many of the ministers to pray that way. God didn't tell him to pray. He stirred himself up. But after an extended period of sacrificial prayer, expressing his hunger and his desire for the power of God and the gifts of the Spirit to come into the church in greater manifestation, all of a sudden God moved on him and said, at the end of World War II, there'll come a revival of healing to America. And you know it did? And healing began to break out in 1947 to about 1957. There was a healing wave in America. And ministers that never even had a healing ministry were getting blind eyes open. Deaf ears were open up. It was just healing was in the air. It was easier to get somebody healed out of a wheelchair than it was to get them out of being backslid. Healing was just in the air. And it didn't just happen because God wanted it to. God needed some people to stir themselves up in desire. I know I've just got so much I can tell that needs to be ministered and said about this, but I see what time it is. Hallelujah. But I want you to desire to know about the gifts Jesus gave you. I want you to want to know, what's your place of function in the local church? Every gift Jesus gave needs to be recognized. It needs to be developed and cultivated. It needs to be used and employed. And you need to keep yourself stirred about that gift. Amen. Would you find 2 Timothy chapter 1 for me in the Amplified? And we'll close right there. Ha ha. Jesus is the giver of such wonderful gifts. Amen. And though our church compared to others may be further along in some of these areas, some of these gifts and manifestations, we're near where we ought to be. I said, I'm not near where I ought to be. Praise God. Praise God. But I want to get where we're supposed to be. Amen. I want to have a fully functioning body. Now, some people take it to the extreme and mean that means there's no order and people are just flying around off the handle talking in tongues and prophesying in the bathroom and all that. You know, and there's a balance. I said, there's a balance. you know, people doing that and going rogue. We believe in order around here, but at the same time, if you've got something you believe from God, man, wave a flag, wave a hanky at me. I'm not trying to stifle the Holy Ghost. Amen. You just have to come to service trusting God. And no doubt, you know, we need to have more of those Sunday night services that we had some of last year.
Amen.
So that we can give place, give the Holy Ghost more opportunity. How about that? You know, in 2024, it's a year to what?
Come.
And then it's a year to go. Praise God. So in 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse number 6, Paul tells Timothy, that is why I would remind you to stir up. Everyone say stir up.
Stir up.
You know, you can't stir up what you never recognized was in you in the first place. Here's another thing. If you're brand new and you don't know what to do or where to start, Dr. Dufresne always said this. When you come to church and you're not sure, just start giving out of your natural ability. What can you do in the natural? Start there. Start there. Can you sweep the floor? Can you paint? Can you clean? Amen. Can you serve? Can you watch children? Can you minister to kids? Can you teach a Sunday school lesson? Start there. Amen. But another great thing about just coming and sitting under the ministry of your pastor is you're putting yourself in a position for the Holy Ghost to stir up that which He put on the inside of you. And then whether I ever am used by God to recognize a gift in you, right, or not, as you faithfully sit under my ministry, amen, those gifts will bubble up. Those gifts will bubble up. And you'll realize, you know, I really am a knee in the church. That's really what I am. I'm a bender. I can bend. Man, I can bend. I can bend around. You just bend me. What I can just, whatever. What, you know what I mean? Amen. You realize what you are. And you're never going to be the blessing God intends you to be in the local church till you find where you fit. I said until you find where you fit. It's another reason, and I am trying to close, I promise, but it's another reason why it's so important that you come to special meetings. Special meetings are not just events on the church calendar. They are holy moments. They are when God has led me to bring in a different gift than the gift I have. And God can use that different gift to do stuff in you and get things in you and bring up stuff in you and nurture. That's another thing about coming to church. What's in you will get ministered. That's why Kamal stays close. Amen. Because what's in him, though it's different than me, because God assigned me to him, as he sits under my ministry, God will use me to minister to his mantle. It'll be nourished and developed. Same thing for me as I sit under my... That's why you need to make it a priority to come to special meetings and not blow that stuff off. You need them. Your gift needs that exposure to these other graces. But then, you know, me, I know a lot about the gifts I'm currently operating in. But this tells me, Paul tells Timothy, stir up. Rekindle the embers of, fan the flame and keep burning. See, it's your job to keep burning.
Amen.
Glory to God. Notice this. Keep burning the gracious gift of God. The inner fire that is in you by means of the laying on of my hands. With whom those elders, you know, with those of the elders at your ordination. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I tell people that I can only run in the strength, you know, in my anointing. I can only run in the strength of that gift for about 90 days. Before, I've noticed after about 90 days, 3 months on my own, pouring out, using my gift, I've got to get back around my spiritual parents and my mentors, because it's not like that gift stops functioning. But you know, if you keep using a sharp pencil, it gets dull. You have to stop writing at times and go back and sharpen that thing. And so when I go sit when I go spend the money and make the effort to go get under that anointing. It's those giftings and graces in my life are resharpened. And I come back and I feel like I'm back on the cutting edge of the gifts and the graces. Amen. We need each other. I need what Jesus put in you. I need what Jesus put in you. I need what Jesus put in you. And I need you growing in that gift. Being more skillful with that gift and being faithful with it. Amen. That's why I know when people come to me and say, listen, I'm just in a season where I need to retreat out of my helps ministry position. I go like, entirely? I mean, when is it okay for my finger? What if my finger said, I really need a 6-month break from being your finger? I've been a finger for 51 years. I'm tired of being your finger. I'm going to take a 6-month vacation. Now, I understand seasons and different things, but you need to be very, very discerning, because most of the time when people get into that backup mode, they back up all the way out of the church. Sometimes they do it fast. Sometimes it takes a year or more. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, stand up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The gift of God. The gift of God. The gift of God. Oh, the gift of God. How precious it is. The gift of God. Hallelujah. It came from heaven. The gift you have. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just praise Him a minute. Just lift your hand. Praise Him a minute.